The Word of God from cover to cover is all about Christ. From Genesis to Revelation, the central message and theme of this book is the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ is. Who Jesus Christ is and what Jesus Christ has done. Now, the Old Testament saints and prophets, they knew much about the Lord Jesus Christ. For instance, if you'd like to turn with me to the book of Job and the chapter 19, here we have a very familiar portion. And Job here recognized not only his need of a Savior, a Redeemer. Job here not only confesses the very reality of his sinful condition and nature, that he was a sinner needing to be redeemed. But he points us here to the Redeemer, to the remedy, to the answer, of course, being Christ. Job chapter 19 in the verse 25, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." And here Job, recognizing his own condition and his great need, he looks down through the annals of time, and he looks forward to the cross. He not only looks forward to the cross, but he looks forward to a risen Savior, one who would rise triumphant over death, hell, sin, and the grave. And Job, by faith, embraced Christ. In the book of John in the New Testament, and the chapter 8, we read the words of the Lord Jesus Christ whenever he was speaking to the Jews and the Jewish nation. In the verse 56, we read his words, "Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." And there the Lord Jesus reminded us of the very fact that by faith, Abraham knew who he was. Abraham embraced Christ. Abraham looked forward to Christ. He saw that day. You think of that occasion when Abraham was called by God and that test of faith. "Abraham, you say that you love me? Prove it. I want you to take your son, Isaac, and offer him there as a burnt offering." And of course, the Lord was testing Abraham, proving him. Abraham that day there declared God will provide himself a lamb. And so he did at Calvary. God provided that lamb. John the Baptist declared, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." In Acts chapter 2, there on the day of Pentecost, we're further reminded of the faith of the Old Testament saints and prophets. For Peter, when he was preaching, reminded the listeners about the patriarch David, and how that David knew much about Christ. You see, in the Old Testament, we find that there are many pictures, many types of the Lord Jesus. Wonderful examples foreshadowing the one to come, the blessed Son of God. We think, for instance, in Exodus chapter 12 of the Passover Lamb. And I'm sure most of you are familiar with the Passover story and that Exodus from Egypt, the 10th plague, that last plague, and the Lord instructing Moses to take that lamb, and each family to take that lamb to kill it in the evening, the 14th day to take the blood, to strike it there upon the door, lintel, the doorposts, there to enter inside. The blood was shed, the lamb died in the place, the lamb became the substitute. And there by faith they were to enter in, and by faith they were to trust in the blood of the Lamb. And the Lamb, of course, a wonderful picture of Christ. The Lamb of God who would come, the Lamb, to bear away the sin of the world. Now here in Joshua chapter 20, we read the account of the cities of refuge. And here in this passage, we have another wonderful picture of Christ. And this morning I want us to consider this passage under the title, under the theme, Christ our Refuge. Christ our Refuge. Consider with me here, first of all, the provision of the cities of refuge. You see, of the 48 Levitical cities that were given to the Levites, six of them were chosen by the Lord, set aside by God, designed, designated specifically as cities of refuge. And there, as the Lord's people entered into the promised land, the land was not only divided up and the cities were appointed, but here we find these cities given to the Levites, six of them now given as cities of refuge. If you want the reference, or the references, should I say, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 43, we read there how Moses was to set aside three cities at the start. And then after that, in Deuteronomy chapter 19 and the verse 9, we're told that the Lord added another further three cities, making six in total. They were to provide a place of refuge and safety, a place of shelter for someone who was killed or someone who killed a person accidentally. You see, in the East, it was a custom that if a person was killed, then the nearest relative of that person killed became what was called or termed the avenger of blood. Let me put it very simply. If someone, for instance, had killed my brother, whether intentionally or unintentionally, then I was to become the avenger of blood. I was to seek justice for his death. I was to seek out the person who took his life and put them to death. Exact justice. That was the responsibility of the avenger of blood. However, if a person killed someone accidentally, in other words, they didn't intend to do it, they didn't mean it, then the Lord provided a place of refuge and shelter for that person. After all, it wasn't a premeditated murder. And there they could flee from the avenger of blood. Turn with me, please, just back to Deuteronomy in the chapter 19, because here in this passage, the Lord gives us a very clear example of someone who could flee to a city of refuge. Deuteronomy chapter 19 and the verse 4 and the verse 5, verse 4, where we read, "And this is the case of the slayer which shall flee thither, that he may live. Whoso killeth his neighbor ignorantly, whom he hated not in time past, as when a man goeth into the wood with his neighbor to hew wood, and his hand fetcheth a stroke with the axe to cut down the tree, and the head slippeth from the helve, and lighteth upon his neighbor that he die, he shall flee unto one of those cities and live." It's a very clear illustration. And the Lord was saying, perhaps a man's out, he's cutting down wood. There he's just going about his business, and somehow the axe head becomes loosened. It leaves the helve or the handle. It strikes a person beside him. It kills him. He didn't mean to kill him. That man can flee to a city of refuge. That man ought to flee to a city of refuge, because the avenger of blood is going to be on his heels, seeking to exact justice. However, under the Judean law, no provision, none, was made for the guilty. The person guilty of murder in Deuteronomy chapter 19, we also read here verse 11, where we read, "But if any man hate his neighbor and lie in wait for him and rise up against him and smite him mortally that he die and fleeth into one of these cities, then the elders of his city shall send and fetch him thence and deliver him into the hand of the avenger of blood, that he may die." The murderer could not flee to a city of refuge. He was not eligible. He must die under the law. Now, whenever we consider the one guilty, the one who stood condemned, the one who stood with no place of refuge, it reminds us about ourselves. It reminds us about our sinful nature and the very fact that we all have a sin problem, a sin nature. We sin because we are sinners. By thought, by word, by deed. We violate and we break God's holy laws and His commandments. And so the sinner stands as one who is condemned under the law of God. One guilty. One who stands lost, unclean, unpardoned. Some years ago, I had opportunity to visit a residential home, or should I say homes, out, it was quite a long time ago, out in the U.S., in the United States, and it's in the state of Texas, and it was founded by a very godly man, Lester Roloff. He was a very unique preacher, to say the least, tremendous servant of the Lord. But Lester Roloff has a wonderful message. If you ever get a chance to listen to it, Dr. Law and Dr. Grace. Basically, that message is, in essence, his testimony and the giving of his testimony. And then it basically, he describes about going to see the doctor because he has something wrong with him. And when he goes to speak to the doctor, he notices that the nameplate there on the door is Dr. Law. And so he goes in and there's Dr. Law, who looks very sternly over his glasses, and he says, you're condemned. But doctor, you haven't even... But I know your case. You're condemned. And so he goes out from speaking to Dr. Law, and he thinks, well, Dr. Law thinks I have an incurable illness. I'll cure it. And he talks about how he went to all the various places seeking to get a cure for his condition, but there was none. And he comes back to the doctor's surgery, to the room, knocks on the door, goes in, and Dr. Law says to him, didn't I tell you, you're condemned. A hopeless case. But doctor, what can you do for me? Nothing. You're condemned. You see, under the law, you and I stand condemned. Condemned of breaking God's holy law, His commandments, falling short of the glory of God. In fact, Galatians chapter 3, verse 24 reminds us, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. You think of the schoolmaster there at the board, and I'm going to show my age, because in my day, it was the chalkboard. Of course, my son would say to me, what's a chalkboard? But back to the old blackboard with the chalk, and the schoolmaster there would instruct, and the schoolmaster would want to lead the class and teach the class. And the Word of God, our schoolmaster, teaches us God is holy. We are sinful. And before God, we stand condemned. And the law would instruct us and teach us that we've fallen short of God's glory. But oh, I'm glad today for Christ, the only refuge for sinful souls. You see, here is the difference between what we call the type, the picture, the foreshadowing, and the anti-type, the fulfillment. Here's the main difference. The cities of refuge were provided for someone who killed a person accidentally, unintentionally. There was no provision made for the guilty, but praise God, in Christ our refuge, there is refuge for the guilty soul. There's refuge for the one who has broken God's laws and fallen short of His glory. I'm glad today for the refuge that we possess in Christ. Thank the Lord that though we were far away from Him, standing condemned under that law, lost, undone, unclean, today here we are, seated, clothed in our right mind, and we stand as those justified by faith before the Lord. Praise His name. What a refuge we have in Christ. Now let me ask you the question. Let me ask you very personally. Do you know this refuge? Have you, by faith, entered into this refuge? Are you trusting Christ? Are you resting in Christ? Is Christ your refuge? I trust and I pray that this very day, Christ is your refuge. How many there are, sadly and tragically, in this land who have sought refuge in many another place. But of course, there is no place of refuge and safety. For God's wrath, God's judgment hangs over the head of the unconverted. At any moment, that justice could fall. And tragically, there are some who have fled to, as it were, the city of pride or the city of good works, city of self-righteousness. Oh, I'm not a bad person really after all. I'm just as good as everybody else. Well, if that's your thought today, you're just as good as everybody else. Well, everybody else is a sinner in need of God's forgiveness. The only refuge is in Christ. The provision of the city of refuge. God provided the refuge for the person who killed someone unintentionally. But praise God in Christ, the Lord has provided His Son for the guilty. Isn't that humbling today as we think of God's mercy and grace toward us? To think that though we had gone against God and violated His laws and commandments, broken His commandments, yet He sent His Son to die on that cruel cross. He gave us all. The provision of the cities of refuge. I want you to also consider with me here the position of these cities of refuge. You see, each city of refuge was strategically positioned by the Lord. Three cities were placed on one side of the River Jordan, three on another. They were spread out throughout the land. Their position was basically such that the person who was fleeing from the avenger of blood, that they would not have too far to go to find a place of refuge. Of course, the Bible reminds us of the very fact that the kingdom of God is at hand, that man who has realized his condition, that he's a sinner condemned, he's in need of forgiveness. He needs to flee to Christ, flee away from every false hope to Christ. That he can flee to Christ because Christ and His offer of salvation and mercy is near. You see, not only was each city of refuge near to hand, close by, but five at least of the six cities were built upon mountains. In other words, they were placed in an elevated situation where the man who had killed a person, let's just use the example of out in the field cutting down the tree, kills the person beside him, didn't mean the head to leave the axe and to strike the person. He can look up yonder hill. There's where I flee for refuge. There's my place of safety. He could see it from a long way off. You remember the time when Abraham, as we mentioned just in our introduction, went to Mount Moriah. He saw the place afar off. He could see it in the distance. Here we find that they were in that elevated position. You think of the approach to each city. There was a causeway of stones leading up to the city of refuge, a pathway. So that the one fleeing, the thought is that the way was clearly set forth before them. It was unmistakable. The Lord made it such that the person who was fleeing the avenger of blood, that they could, with confidence, with assurance, know that they were going the right direction to the right place. And that is a picture of Christ and the Word of God. For all of the Word of God brings us and points us to the only remedy, to Christ. He is the only hope. He is the only way. He is the only refuge. It was the duty, the responsibility of the Levites to keep the road leading to each city, to keep it clear from obstructions, from rocks, from anything that would be a hindrance. That was their duty. Also, there were signposts that were placed. It's recorded how that the Hebrew word miklat means refuge was written on them. And there is the thought, the man looking, he can look up to yonder hill. There is a place, but as he makes his way, there's a causeway of stones. This is a way, walk ye in it. And signposts, finger posts, refuge, safety, God's appointed way, God's provided way. Here is the place of refuge. You see, there was to be no confusion. The person fleeing, you can imagine the terror that would be struck into their heart. The knowledge that the avenger of blood was on their tail. With trembling, with fear, they flee for refuge. Let me just say in passing that there are many churches in our province today where sadly God's word and the way of salvation is not clearly set forth. That is one of the many reasons, and I say many reasons, why we remain opposed to the ecumenical movement. We thought about the approach to the city. The accessibility was such that the whosoever will may come. And the Lord made it very clear. It was for the person who had taken that life. It was for the stranger. It was for the Jew. It was for the stranger within the land. It was for the whosoever. That reminds us of the free offer of the gospel, that whosoever will may come. I want you to also consider with me here today the protection of the cities of refuge. Now, in studying God's word, there are many commentaries that you would want to use and look at. Of course, first of all, you want to seek the Lord in the study of God's word and pray that the Holy Spirit would open the word to you. But as you consider that word and you're looking at it and consider one of the greatest commentaries you'd recommend would be, of course, Matthew Henry's commentary. Matthew Henry's note on the cities of refuge is really worth stating today. He said, or says in the commentary, I delight not in quibbling on names, yet I am willing to take note in these. In other words, there is a significance in the names of the cities of refuge, and so there is. You see, in the very names of these cities, we have a wonderful picture of Christ, the only refuge, of Christ, the one alone able to meet the need. Their names are not without significance. The name Kadesh here means holy or sanctify. Holy or sanctify. How can a sinner condemned unclean ever come to be clean before the Lord? Through Christ, our Kadesh. How can we as God's people, how can we know that sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit through Christ? Our Kadesh, our sanctification. Now, the believer, the child of God, is to pray about many things, and we're to ask the Lord for his will in many areas of our lives. And it's good to do that, and it's right and proper. And I trust that we're all seeking to do that. Lord, lead me, direct me, guide me. But do you know that there are certain things that really we don't need to pray to ask God's will about it because the Lord has already spoken in his word. For instance, we don't need to pray, Lord, should I read my Bible? Well, that's been revealed. Should I pray? Those things. Well, can I say that the Lord has already revealed his will in regard to all of our lives? Every single Christian here, God has revealed his will to us. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Every child of God, every one of us. The Lord desires that you and I become more separated from this world and more separated unto Christ, that we become more like our blessed Savior in every area and every aspect of our lives. How can we manage that? How are we to do that? It is by Christ alone, and by the power of Christ. He is the one who sanctifies us. I'm glad today the Lord doesn't leave us to our own methods or our own means, because we'd fall short. The name Shechem mentioned here, the city of refuge, not only Kadesh, but Shechem. Shechem means back or shoulder. Reminds us once again of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. In Isaiah, we often quote this here passage, certain times of the year, Isaiah chapter 9 and the verse 6, where we read, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Praise God today for the one whose government, the government is upon his shoulder. He is the one who is that good shepherd. Oh, there's so much application when we think of the shoulder and the good shepherd seeking out the lost sheep. They're finding that lost lamb, for instance, taking it and placing upon his shoulders. And there he lifts it up. And he's rejoicing that he's found his sheep that was lost. Praise God for us as God's people. The Lord has brought us upon his shoulder into Christ, into our Shechem. Moving along very quickly here, we have the name Hebron. Hebron means to have fellowship with. That's the literal meaning of Hebron. Have fellowship with. Oh, what a wonder today. What a joy that thrills our hearts. The we who had rebelled against God, sinned against God, broken his laws and commandments, that now by Christ, our Hebron, we are brought into fellowship with God. It's wonderful. Fellowship. Communion with God. The very purpose for which man was created, to know God, to enjoy God, to glorify God, to enjoy him forever, brought into everlasting union with the Lord. Golan means joy or rejoicing. You know, in our sin, we had nothing to be joyful about. The vain empty song of the world, as we thought in our opening hymn, it was so empty. But it's the joy of the Lord that is our strength. It reminds us that through Christ alone, we have joy and everlasting fellowship, praise. Can I say that our lives, the Christian life, ought to be marked out by praise, joy? Ramoth comes from a word meaning to be lifted up. To be lifted up. What a name. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him, and has exalted his Son. But you know, as we think of that name, the very fact that you and I have entered into refuge and into safety in Christ, as we think of that lifting up, surely it brings us to the cross. We're there suspended upon that Roman gibbet, the Lord Jesus was lifted up to die in our guilty room and place. The sinless one the perfect one, became the great sin bearer, became our substitute. We can say he took my place and he died for me. He was lifted up for me. We think of how when we enter into Christ, the Lord lifts us up from our pit of sin. We're seated together in heavenly places in Christ. So much application. Then the final city, the city Bezer. Bezer means fenced, fortified, or walled. And what a name that is. Child of God, I hope that you're glad today and you're rejoicing in the very fact that you are safe eternally in Jesus Christ. This book, the Bible, does not teach being saved and lost. This book teaches being lost and then saved. You and I are not going to heaven because we have a hold of Christ. Rather, we are going to heaven because he has a hold and a grasp of us. There's a very big difference. Our lives are hid with Christ and God. The child of God, the Christian, cannot lose his or her salvation. Now, there are times when the believer can doubt that, can doubt their salvation. Wasn't it Spurgeon who said, "I doubt the man who never doubted"? But whenever we turn to the Word of God and we seek God about the matter, the Lord gives us that assurance that we're safe in Christ. It doesn't depend on us. It's not about our works, for Jesus paid it all. We rest eternally safe and secure in him. Christ is our refuge. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Now here we have a beautiful picture, don't we, of Christ. The one who brings us into fellowship with God. The one who reconciles us. The one who gives us that joy. The one who not only brings us into a place of safety, but grants to us eternal safety. Tell me, in closing, do you know the Lord? You see it? Are you in Christ? In this congregation this morning, there are two classes of people. Saved and lost. Those for heaven, tragically those in their sin, condemned and heading to hell. In Christ, their refuge, with no refuge, no safety. And God's wrath today is just like the Avenger of blood. Seeking for justice. Will you not flee to Christ? Child of God, rejoice. Rejoice in all that Christ has done for you. All that Christ means to you. Let me say, there is so much more for us all. Doesn't matter where you're saved. 1 year, 10 years, 100 years. Doesn't matter. There's so much more to knowing Jesus Christ. There's so much more to know about the Lord. And I trust that the Lord will lead us and guide us in those green pastures as we feed upon his word. May God bless his word to our hearts today for Jesus' sake.